Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. All right. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And for those in Shreveport, Bossier region area, how exciting for you to have a snow day as the snow has hit you guys. Hopefully everyone enjoy. Hopefully you're staying warm. If anybody's in Texas, hopefully you have not lost power and do not lose power. And today is such a rejoiceful day in this season. As we are continuing into the month of Adar, the season of rejoicing, into all the things that the Lord has provided for us in this season, despite the darkness and hardship that we have entered into in the world under this current administration, and just the times that have entered into the world now with the ever-increasing of darkness. And so we want to continue on our study and meditation of the verse of the week, in Ephesians 5. And today I want to read a commentary, and hopefully this can kind of help us understand the reasoning behind everything. Because I use the New American Standard because it's pretty straightforward. It's the most accurate interpretation of the original text into the English language. And so in the commentaries that we see here from Matthew Henry, it talks about four verses 13 and 14, how filthy lusts must be rooted out. And these sins must be dreaded and detested here. And he uses Old English, so a lot of this is won't fully translate into how you and I communicate, but when he wrote it at the time, this is how they wrote. It said, here are not only cautions against gross acts of sin, but against what some may make light of. But these things are so far from being profitable, talking about the sins that we have that are needed, that need to be exposed and brought to the light, is they're unprofitable, that they pollute and poison the hearers. Our cheerfulness should show itself as one becomes Christians, in what may tend to God's glory. A covetous man makes a god of his money, places that hope, confidence, and delight in worldly good, which should be in God only. He goes on to say that those who allow themselves either in the lust of the flesh or the love of the world belong not to the kingdom of grace, nor shall they come to the kingdom of glory. When the vilest transgressors repent and believe the gospel, they become children of obedience. That's letting this light come in, rooting out the spirit of drunkenness. Is you're letting that light come in, expose it, reveal it, remove it, and coming a child of obedience is what he's talking about here. From whom God's wrath is turned away. Dare we make light of what which brings down the wrath of God? Sinners, like men in the dark, are this is the Old English I'm talking about here. He said, sinners are like men in the dark, are going they not know where, and doing they know not what. But the grace of God wrought a mighty change in the souls of many. Walk as children of light, as having knowledge and holiness. These works of darkness are unfruitful, whatever profit they may boast, for they end in the destruction of the impotent sinner. And we're using this scripture in talking about redeeming our time, of getting back into that alignment with the Lord in the seasons and times, of knowing where the Lord not only wants us as individuals to be in walking with the Lord, but also with our city, our state, our nation. It scales. And so we can use this foundation to as we repent, not only for ourselves and for this nation and the sins of this nation, all sin falls short of the glory of God. It is to get us back to a humble place of being children of obedience to the Lord and enter into the wisdom and peace of the Lord, not focusing on the daily struggles of providing for our family, et cetera, and stuff like that. And Chuck Pierce talks about how in the different seasons and times of when you're looking towards the fulfillment of time, you're looking at present and past, is that if you're focusing on those things, you're eventually going to get pulled into the past. And rather than keeping our eyes focused on Jesus and the fulfillment in the future time, is if we stay in the present, we're going to get pulled back into the past. And we have to, in this season of the exposing and the reproving and the rebuking and everything that is happening, is look at ourselves and humble ourselves. You know, in Philippians 2, it talks about is not looking too boldly upon ourselves, of understanding of being selfless and looking at others and staying humble is a more so emphasis there. And so in this season we can say, well, we see the wrong that's going on, and we have to catch ourselves. This is why we keep our emotions in check, to stay humble and stay on that foundation that the Lord has provided us to pray for the office of the president, no matter who's in office. And if we keep that sober mindset and understand that this is where the Lord needs us to be, not only for ourselves, but for this nation, and to help and pray for and intercede for those within this administration and future generations, administrations as well, to make sure that they're ruling based upon the wisdom of the Lord and the Holy Spirit for the destiny of this nation, so that souls can be saved and we can spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. Okay, with that, I want to dive into some news we've talked about before, but want to point this out again because this brings up a good question. The article brings up a good point. The article from The Hill talks about how the CDC is finally recognizing natural immunity, which we've talked about that this actual study from the CDC before, about how they broke things down into four different segments. Those who have taken the vaccine, those who haven't, those who've taken the vaccine and recovered, and those who haven't taken the vaccine and have recovered, showing that those who have recovered have natural immunity, and the natural immunity lasts longer, even if you've had the jab and the recovery and the effectiveness of it. Now, in the report from the CDC, we talked about it before, about how they're still saying the vaccine is worth it. The vaccine is the only thing that's the reason why you're able to recover and it lasts so long, even despite the natural immunity. Look, it's slow road towards reality. But I want to play this clip from Shaquille O'Neal, a Hall of Fame basketball player from LSU. Is he brings up on his own podcast a guest who works at CBS and brings up a good point about, look, you have to make your own decisions for your family, but at the end of the day, you can't force someone to do it. And that's the whole point of the main point of what we've been advocating for, even despite the evidence that's out there of warning and the prophetic of warning that, hey, look, be cautious if you are going to take this, because you don't know the ramifications of what's happening. I mean, Israel, they're continuing despite yet having 80% vaccinations, people, the third jab and going on to the fourth and potentially what else. You're not knowing the reality of it all. And this study from the CDC shows that, look, they got it wrong from the very beginning. They said it would cure everything. It would make it 2 weeks to slow the spread, all that stuff. Like, it's just been lie after lie of compiling. But the reality is, I'm going to play this clip. Encourage, I know what's going on, but play this clip because I think this brings a interesting perspective and a pushback, because there's also some things said here that are just completely hypocritical from his guest. So I'll play it and hear what he said.
Look, I encourage everybody to be safe and take care of your family. I do. But there's still some people that don't want to take it, and you shouldn't have to be forced to take something that you don't want. So
I don't think people are being forced to take Well, there are some. There are. I mean, listen, we have.
She pivoted. Well, I don't think there are people who are being forced to take. Oh, wait. Well, there are some. We have a mandate at CBS.
A mandate at CBS.
That's force.
We have a.
He called it out. That's force. That's exactly what you say is not happening.
A mandate at CBS. But my point.
That's force.
But where I wholeheartedly.
That's force.
No, it's not force.
It is force. Because if the man don't take it, the man will get fired.
Look. And what that tells us is, unfortunately, she took it. And most likely, my pure opinion on this is she regrets it. And he points it out. He says, if you don't take it, then you're going to get fired. People shouldn't be put in this position. And that, at the end of the day, just with all the arguments not occurring or our debates and discussions that need to be happening within the medical field, within the scientific field, about the efficacy and the efficiency of the jab, is to not force the vaccine on people who choose not to take it. And the boosters and et cetera, and et cetera, et cetera. As more evidence comes out, if we're going to trust the science, then as more evidence comes out and it shows that people read the data, are seeing the realities of this, then they need to be able to have the freedom to not do something against their conscience. Religious freedom, medical health freedom, or in some cases, as Aaron Rodgers, is detrimental to their health for the reasons of why they don't want to take it. I point that out to show that there is a coming around on this issue, not only from medical health experts as a CDC, slowly but surely, may not be perfect, but it's a step in the right direction, and even from public voices who are saying, look, Americans need to be able to have the freedom to choose. And this goes, the reason I point this out is because with all the hysteria and everything going on, especially with what's going on with Canada and potentially the trucker convoy to DC, there's a host of news around of potentially being shut down, potential army, et cetera, all this stuff in Canada and in the US, is the, let's remember the testing the prophetic and trusting the Lord on this, of what Chris Reed saw and heard, that by the spring, this will all dissipate. And basically be non-existent. So there is hope and in that of knowing, okay, God, you're saying this. Chris Reed's been correct about a lot of things. So we're continuing to see what the Lord's dealing with here in these times. Also, more news, and this is just news. I don't want to pray about this, but news out of Kansas is that the governor has now vetoed, the Democratic governor, Lori Kelly, has vetoed a Republican-backed congressional map in the state of Kansas. And what she is claiming takes away the Latino and Black demographic within the only U.S. House representative Democratic congressional seats, district, and shifting it towards the more Republican districts. And if that's how, which is what the Republicans are saying, that's how the demographic plant panned out. People have moved away out of this district. Things have shifted from the 2020 census. That's why we changed this. And what's interesting to note is that under the proposed new map, she would have still won the seat. Yet the Democratic governor is saying, no, she would not have. We need to keep things as the way they are. So there's a battle going on here. I point this out to say, it's not just New York. It's not California that are trying to play these political games and all this. It's all throughout the country, both right and on the left. And we just want to be aware of this as we move forward closer to the midterms and hearing these instances of it's going to be a red wave, it's going to be this, it's going to be a blue wave, it's going to be that. Like, we're still yet to fully understand that as we inch closer to the midterms, because the ground is still being set. The board is still being shuffled. That goes back to Chuck Pierce's word in 2019 about how God is shifting things around. He's moving things around, and now it's playing itself out in the natural. Even as these redistricting maps are happening all across this country. So something we need to be aware of. Also, another thing, a positive thing we need to be aware of, and I want to point this out, because there was a lot of backlash initially on Governor Kristi Noem and her initial pushing back against the bill at the time, banning girls, boys from in girls sports. And there were some certain things in that those bills that would have opened the state up to huge legal battles that she wanted to prevent. And now they have corrected those procedures, lines, verbiage, and put a bill forward that she has now signed, put forward that clarifies a lot of different things. And so when people, the reason I want to point this out is because I talked about it of how this is the reason why she didn't want that then bill of it opened the state up to lawsuits. And if you're talking about doing what's best for the constituency, for the funding of your taxpayer dollars for the state of South Dakota, that's the proper stance to take. She got lambasted for it for whatever reason. And some of the things in this bill are quite interesting. I'm going to blow this up. I can. Blow this up a little bit to see what is being reported. So if you see here, the bill comes as Noem conversely blocked a similar bill, House Bill 1217 last year, saying the style and form was unworkable, which is true. We talked about that last year. And this is the specifics of it that were reasons of why she pushed back on it. And she said the old bill written stated that a child's parents confirming their biological sex and that they had not taken any performance-enhancing drugs such as anabolic steroids, Noem's bill. So basically the old bill would rely upon, okay, if a boy says he's a girl, we're going on that only by the statement written from the parent or from the parent, and not by any medical documentations, not by any factual arguments. So then you open yourself up to legal arguments. Well, I let my child be determine their own sex, et cetera. Like it's a host of arguments, and that's what she wanted to prevent. And in the new bill, it would rely on only the child's birth certificate and official document, as well as the old bill also did not define what performance-enhancing drugs were, and that previous provision has been removed. And so This highlights the fact that just because, and we have to be careful because a lot of people listen to a lot of pundits who want to put just information out there. They want to spit it out. They want to cause certain things and make certain things look as though they're not for clicks. It's called clickbait. And we have to be careful about that, especially as we get closer to the midterms, about attacking this person, attacking that person. So we have to sit back and be sober and wait and see. And the pushback that Noem gave was that, look, I don't want to go into these legal fights with parents who may have a differing view based upon no official documentation whatsoever. And also with the NCAA, et cetera. This bill deals with, and also the way the NCAA has ruled it kind of helps deal with this specific issue of the fact that you're dealing with official documentation. You can't argue with official documentation, medical documentation of what your birth certificate says. Your parents still have to choose boy, male, or female based upon the natural plumbing, biologics of the baby at the birth. And so we want to point this out because not only is this a victory for South Dakota, but hopefully this can lead the nation as an example for bill for other states dealing with this, and also to expose the hysteria trying to attack her based upon that. Because I think if we're going to be honest and look at, you know, who are the potential options for president, political leaders in the future, we have to be honest and not just get caught up in the hysteria of saying, hey, this is what it takes to be a leader. It's not just giving in to even pressures from the left and or the right. It's doing what is best for your state based upon constitutionality and based upon foundations that will be sustainable in the future. And so she did that there. Something to know about moving forward. Another thing to know about moving forward is Senator Indiana Senator Mike Braun came out with a short publication calling it Groundhog, playing off the theme of Groundhog Day, calling it Braun's Groundhog Day, Joe Biden's Groundhog Day, and pointing out the fact that you can read it. I'll put the link to the Washington Examiner that has a link to this PDF of this little pamphlet, of pointing out the fact that there not only do there need to be term limits for congressmen and senators in Washington, D.C., and this comes from someone with experience of 38 years of running a business and then also being in Washington, D.C., and in politics, and showing that the biggest problem we have, and this is something for to keep in mind for future elections, presidencies, potential leaders in the future of term limits, not only, and he points, which I think this is actually a great point. At first I was like, yeah, but now I'm starting to come around to it in the fact of you need term limits for aides, political aides, White House aides, et cetera, lobbyists, a host of other issues that he points out as well, because what you're doing is you're kicking around. Okay. Yes. The figurehead may change. Obama changes to Biden. Before it was Bush changed to Trump or Reagan and Bush and then Clinton and Bush. But yet the same people who are under them are just jumping from administration to administration to administration, having the same exact ideas. And we're literally seeing that play out right before our very eyes on a host of issues, economic, international, with this Biden administration, which has turned into Obama 3.0. And some of you guys have seen in dreams confirming that, and the natural is playing out that way. When you literally have the same exact people, Press Secretary Jim Paskey was in line to become a press secretary from the previous administration. Same idea, Susan Rice, Jake Sullivan. These are the same people. Okay, maybe the top ones get inched out, but they're the same people just running through the cycle of the gambit of the positions within the administration. And this is something that needs to be dealt with. And this is something that any president coming in should come in and just clean house. Biden did that when he shifted over from Trump. Any Trump appointees, no, you're gone. We're getting rid of you. There's something to say about whether Trump should have done that before or in the next coming presidency, who, if there's a Republican president or a Democratic president, I think they should both either should do the same thing. Get rid of them, get fresh ideas, because these ideas are not working. We're $30 trillion in debt and climbing. And if Americans and politicians really understood what that meant, they would do something about it. But before I get too upset on that issue, it is something we need to be aware of, something to discuss with our political leaders, not only nationally, but locally as well. And also to point out that, look, with the fact that this is going on, the local level is going to be more important than ever before and dealing with a lot of these issues moving forward as the government tries to, especially this government, tries to continue government overreach now and in the days ahead. Okay. Want to lay out the groundwork for the issue in Ukraine. So we're getting myriads of reports. It's really hard to say what's happening, what's not happening. Ukraine's playing things down. Russia's playing things down. And the U.S. and the U.K. and France are playing things up. NATO is playing things up. Why? There's a host of reasons why. I'll talk a little bit about that here. But what we're seeing now is Ukraine is going around making relationships with countries in Europe, in Asia, and now learning about Ukraine is securing a deal to get drones and other weapons from Turkey. And Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky praised the deal, saying that there are new technologies, new workplaces, and an increase in Ukraine's ability to defend itself. Also, one thing to note is Turkey is trying to make itself become a power player back on the scene in the public sphere of politics. And so you're seeing this, and this is not the first move that has happened with Ukraine and Turkey, but it's highlighting, okay, Ukraine is making its sovereign voice known, presence known on the world sphere. And there is something to say, there is truth behind the reports coming out of America and Europe and Ukraine that Russia does want to take back its old Soviet bloc. And this is a move to kind of deter that. Whether that's a good thing to push for letting Turkey do that is yet to be determined. There's a lot of information there to not dive into it deep, that wait and see type of thing, if this is really good to position Turkey this way. But it's good for Turkey to say, okay, look, they also want to try to be an intermediary who actually is there with if a conflict were to arise, there would be backlash for Turkey. So they're saying, hey, let me get involved. Let's actually have a conversation, because they border Russia and Ukraine. So they were saying, hey, let's calm these tensions down. Let's see what's happening. So you're seeing that from Ukraine. Now, I'm two storylines that kind of intertwine. If you follow me here for a second, I'm going to go into it real fast. Of yesterday, we talked about how the nominee for the Federal Reserve Vice Chair, Sarah Bloom Raskin, who is the wife of a sitting representative, Raskin, out of Maryland, if I remember correctly, was being questioned in front of the Senate on some of her views. Now, if you remember some of her views, I talked about it before, about how she wanted to basically shut down and prevent funding to go towards oil and gas companies. And she said, previously has said, that the Fed should not be getting involved with, and banks should not be getting involved with, oil and gas companies, basically trying to shut down the oil and gas industry. And Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana came out and said, this is preposterous. Basically, you can't allow, she said, he said they're trying to kill an essential industry to the world economy by nominating people for the Federal Reserve that will use fiduciary rules to unemploy 12.5% of the entire state of Louisiana and give Russia more leverage over the rest of the world. The United States, being a exporter of natural gas and oil, is a good thing, not only for the United States, but for the rest of the world and for the environment. 2 years ago, this is the key of where he's pointing this out, of where this comes from. 2 years ago, she had an op-ed in the New York Times calling oil and gas industry a dying industry, and that the Fed should look at its willingness to support lending to fossil fuels company, which is politicizing the issue. This is the very reason that she should be disqualified from even being positioned into this. And what's best about this is that Republicans and even some Democrats are questioning this and seeing this for what it is. Because in her confirmation hearing, she came out and said it is inappropriate for the Fed to make credit decisions and allocations, despite the fact that she has previously come out publicly and said that they should do the very same thing she's saying they shouldn't do now. She said, banks choose their borrowers, not the Fed. It's inappropriate for the Fed to choose winners and losers, and doing so is not proper institution role of the Fed. And what is utterly hilarious is that Senator Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania said, this is one of the most remarkable cases of confirmation conversion I have ever seen. Basically, she's telling us what we want to hear, just so she can get confirmed, be in a position of power, and then there's nothing we can do about it. So I say this about the oil and gas industry, about the nominee for that, of making sure we're interceding for both Republican and Democrat leaders to be filled with the Holy Spirit, wisdom and revelation on these Biden cabinet appointees, because their bias is just on the forefront. They're wearing it as a badge of honor on their chest while sitting here saying, no, I don't believe these things, even though it's out there for all the world to see, and not given the fact that she is married to a sitting member of the House. Red flag there, who is a Democrat, who has come out on these same positions as well. Okay, I point that out to say of there is a theory that is out there that a lot of these rumors and things are going on are speculative at best with Russia and Ukraine. And yesterday, I'm not going to play the clip, but yesterday on two occasions, the administration is getting caught with not providing evidence on certain things. And one of those things is in Ned Price, a State Department spokesperson, came out in saying that we have video evidence of false flag operations from Russia, but yet we're not going to release them. And Associated Press diplomatic reporter Matt Lee questioned him on it. They got into a shouting match over it. And what's very, very interesting in all of that, he pushes him and says, Lee pushes Price and says, hey, you made an allegation that they might do that. Have they actually done it? Do you have actual evidence? Where's the activity? Where is the evidence? Where can I go find the evidence? And Price says, I am the evidence. My statement here is the evidence, and you just need to be comfortable with that. And Lee's saying, no, I'm not comfortable with this. Now, two things are true at the same time is they might possibly want to protect their sources to prevent, because the angles and certain things that could expose them. That's very true. But also, they attack Trump for doing this very same thing. Democrats, Republicans, the media attack. Well, why won't he release this information? Like, it's military's prerogative to protect its sources now and in the future by making sure that they're able to get these type of sources from people. So it is very intellectually honest for them to not do that. Now, to sit there and say that I am the evidence of just saying, look, we have it, we're not going to release it for national security reasons, is a very honest answer. And that's why Trump did the same thing when he had evidence of Russian interference in certain things before. But now it's okay to do the same thing Trump did and other presidents have done to protect your sources and et cetera. A little bit of media hypocrisy here. Good on Mike Lee for kind of pushing back on this, but the other incident is that on the ISIS issue and the bombing of the dual reporting around the world on the bombing from ISIS and potentially killing women and children, or the U.S. is now coming out and saying it's a suicide bombing attack, and Paskey basically saying the same thing is, you have to trust what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the truth. You have to trust us on the intelligence reports. Whereas the Kremlin, ISIS, and other agencies around the world are saying the opposite, that the U.S. attacked. And so there's the nefarious things going on. And the reason we want to understand the realities of these scenarios of potentially not providing correct information is as the increasing tensions with Ukraine and Russia and other nations around the world, with China and North Korea, we need to pray for this administration to have the wisdom and the fear of the Lord in dealing with Russia and Ukraine, because Russia and Ukraine could be a tipping point for China and North Korea and other nations as well. So we want to continue to pray for the administration, have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, while also understanding that what is going on behind closed doors, God is revealing. And let's remind ourselves as we go into this weekend, for those who are in Shreveport Bossier, I hope you enjoy the snow, but to rejoice in this month of Adar, where the Lord calls for us to rejoice on all that he's provided for us, to look back and reflect and look forward and to knowing that God is not done with this nation. There are things, as Mara Murillo said, that may happen that we may not like. Don't be fooled by what's going on, but put your hope and your trust in the Lord and rejoice in him. And hopefully you're able to spend some time with friends and family this weekend as we come back next week. Just continue to stand on the wall and pray for the office of the president. And we'll also be back today at noon to close out our week in noon prayer before we enter into the weekend. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one, and have a good weekend.